much paralyzing terror as in this hair-raising orgy of sadism.
The mouth of the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
Hello and welcome to episode 937 of Dread Media. I'm your host, Desmond Reddick, back with you for another great episode. This week, I'll tell you all about this week's episode right after I say that we're proud to be sponsored by you. And by you, I mean the patron Dreadites. Become a member of a select group, an elite crew that get early episodes like... This is Wednesday afternoon, so by Wednesday night, they're going to have this week's episode 5 days early. Patreon.com/DreadMedia. Get exclusive podcasts, other perks like video and other content, comic book stuff, fiction stuff. Whew. Sorry, I've just been cooking. Now I'm all sweaty. Goddamn. Okay. Yeah, check us out. Patreon.com/DreadMedia. This week, man, what do we got coming up this week? This week, Tom and I are talking about the brand new exorcism film featuring Russell Crowe, The Pope's Exorcist. And this is an exorcism film which has a bit of a new take. And I'm not referring to that other Russell Crowe vehicle exorcism film that came out last year, The Exorcism, which is something I'm going to cover solo right after Tom and I talk about The Pope's Exorcist. So The Pope's Exorcist and The Exorcism starring Russell Crowe, both of them. And we're going to play music from, yeah, I think 4 different decades. First of all, let's kick into a band that both of my sons believe to have the funniest band name of all time. And man, I don't know if you can argue with them. This is the Butthole Surfers and Barbecue Pope.
I Calypso.
Father Amort.
We meet again.
Our old enemy.
Yes. Only in this film.
Yeah, I know. God damn it. Like, I was like, I wonder what Tom's going to say about this. Look.
Oh my gosh. This film is stupid.
Tom and I have talked about this person in this film. I can't remember the episode number. I didn't look it up beforehand.
It was one of our first reviews together.
Oh, I don't know if it was that long ago. Was it?
It was very long ago.
Okay.
It's for one thing, William Friedkin was still alive.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Because it was a documentary by William Friedkin. And you say those words, you're like, guys, yes. How could that go wrong? Well, because it is, I believe it's called The Devil and Father Amort.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Father Amort, is an exorcist, with the Catholic Church. And that documentary, followed his work. And his work looked like exploiting and feeding into the mania that a person with severe mental health problems mm-hmm. is getting from their family and exacerbating those issues. And Tom and I took some real guff watching that one. And
I recall it's one of the very rare films we've scored a zero.
Yeah.
Was it the one that I created the fuck y'all?
That might have been. I didn't realize we did that so long ago, but that might have been an early, if not the first, fuck y'all. in 2023, Russell Crowe, in a pretty great Italian accent, yes. believe it or not, shows up as the character Father Amort in The Pope's Exorcist and turns him into a pulp hero of
the Catholic world.
Is this a horror? No, this is not a horror.
No, it's not.
No.
Is this a James Bond film?
It's more a James Bond film than a horror film.
Yes, sure. It is.
Yeah. Well, for sure it is.
It is a Jamie.
Or Indiana Jones, or, you know.
This film is at its best when it embraces its goofiness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When it tries to be a quote-unquote serious horror film and plays into all the old Exorcist cliches.
Yeah.
It lets you down.
It does,
when it's Russell Crowe riding a scooter and, you know, dancing around trying to get the supervillain of the piece.
Yeah.
Asmodeus out of his body.
Yeah.
It's joy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, like it really feels like a return to form for Russell Crowe for me.
Yes.
Cause like so many times watching this movie, I was like, fuck, that's Russell Crowe. Like it's, like, you know, like it's weird because I don't know, he sort of disappears into this role. And I mean, we need to have more Pope's Exorcist movies, right?
Oh, I think that they're planning.
Are they? Oh, good.
I think how could they not? Cause they end this film on a sequel setup.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with basically Amorth and his sidekick, Father Tomas.
Yeah.
And they each have a hot woman demon to torment them.
Yes, in their past. Yeah, very funny. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, God. This is so joyous.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And also, my favorite little tiny touch of this movie, which is not something I expected in a thousand lifetimes, Franco Nero as the Pope.
The Pope! Oh.
Was me just doing a chef's kiss right there.
Oh.
What more do you want?
Oh, gosh. I could just imagine him just like walking into some ecclesiastical congress, dragging a coffin behind him. I guess we should tell them what the plot is.
Yeah.
Father Amorth is Father Amorthing. And meanwhile, an American family composed of the worried mother, the silent son, and the daughter who cannot wear pants.
Right.
Are trying to renovate an abbey in Spain, which is the only thing that their recently deceased father left them.
Yeah.
And they need the money. And Silent Henry uncovers something.
Yeah.
And he becomes, you know, possessed with all the cliches therein.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Pope, who is pretty much M in this film,
yeah,
says to Father Amorth, I want you to go to this abbey in Spain and Father Amorth this thing. And he does.
Yeah. Hey, my favorite part about fake cinematic Father Amorth is that he's more skeptical than real Father Amorth.
Yeah. he explains to the asshole cardinal at the very beginning, it's like, well, most of these things is just mental illness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the opening sequence where he is dealing with somebody who may or may not be possessed and mm-hmm. believes he's or tricks the demon into
possessing a pig,
possessing this pig that they bring into the house. And then the moment it happens, his partner shoots the pig in the head, thereby saving the human that was possessed. And then you're like, holy shit, that's a fucking intense opening. And then it cuts to, well, we get that. Then we get the family arriving at the house. And then we get Father Amorth arriving at the Vatican, where they're like, oh, what's going on? And like, I hear that you killed a pig or whatever. And he's like yeah, most of this shit is just mental illness. So I convinced him to pretend he was he was possessing the pig, killed the pig, problem solved.
Yes.
I love it, actually. Because that shows a level of discretion that the real Father Amorth doesn't have.
And, you know, Russell Crowe is just so comfortable in his, since he's gained weight, he's been just so comfortable in his body.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's just having a ball. And Daniel Zovato, who plays his sidekick, basically the Bond girl in this film.
Right, right.
Father Esquivel is great because, of course, he plays the straight man.
Yeah.
The family is pretty much disposable.
Yes. Yeah, again, like very tropey, like mother is, you know, clearly traumatized, clearly, anxious. Daughter is, you know, bitchy teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
Son is, selectively mute, since witnessing the brutal death of his father, right? It's all very, very tropey. The family with traumatic past moves to either a manor in the countryside or a different country, right? It's all just like, oh yeah, this is like, we've seen all of this before, but it fucking works. And in fact, it doesn't fully work for me because I feel like there's this whole element of, of, you know, this is not just an exorcism. This is, you know, saving the world kind of thing.
Oh yeah. When it turns out that Asmodeus's plan is basically a Bond villain plan.
Yeah.
But then the thing is,
they kind of leave it at that, though, right? It's like, okay, well, that's the plan. Well, I guess we go and exorcise the demon now.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, okay, so we're not going back to the basement? or down the well or whatever. Again, a very cool well in this one, lined with skulls. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good shit.
And for some reason, there is an Iron Maiden.
Yeah, right.
I think the only reason the Iron Maiden is there is so one of the hot demon chicks could come out of it.
Very true.
Incidentally, this film was reviewed by the International Association of Exorcists.
Oh, okay.
They called the title of the film pretentious.
Right.
And claimed that the plot poses unacceptable doubt to the public as to who the real enemy is, the devil or ecclesiastical power.
Huh. It's not the most, like, lenient film towards the Catholic power structure, I guess. But, like, isn't every movie like that? Aren't they being stopped by the higher ups? You know what I mean? Isn't that almost every movie that deals with the Catholic Church? It's like they could make a lot more brutal stuff about the Catholic Church into movies, and they do. So
yeah. Russell Crowe was nominated for Worst Actor for the Golden Raspberry Awards of that year. But you know what? The film made, on a budget of $18 million, it made
Russell Crowe was Worst Actor?
Yeah!
Hell no. Without Russell Crowe, this movie's a piece of shit. Russell Crowe rules in this movie.
Oh, yeah. No, the worst actress is Alex Esso, who plays the mom.
Yeah, I mean, she's not given much to do at all, freak out.
It's like, do your best impersonation of Shelley Duvall in The Shining.
Yeah, totally.
And there is a Pope, imaginatively titled Pope's Exorcist 2, in pre-production right now, as we speak.
All right. I'm down for it.
100%. Oh, no, I think we should have You Only Pope Once. We should have Gold Pope. We should have
License to Exercise.
Yeah, exactly. A whole series.
A few popes more.
Yeah, because they establish at the end that there's, I think it's like over 100 of these places of sheer evil.
Yeah.
And we want you, basically when they reveal that there's like a secret papal secret service at the end.
Right.
And it's like, Father Amorth, do you think you can do it? Well, I don't know if I can do it, but I can do it with my friend.
We need like Father Amorth going to Argentina and getting, a demon worshipped by the ancestors of Nazi escapees or some shit. Julius Avery, who directed this, yes, is the director of Overlord.
Ah, yes. The zombie World War II film that may have been a Cloverfield sequel at one point.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes, may have been.
Okay.
I think what happened is after the Cloverfield Paradox, Bryan Singer said, nope, we're not going to have that.
Yeah, I can't blame him for that. And also Samaritan, that superhero movie with Sylvester Stallone.
Well, there you go.
So I haven't seen that, but I'm going to check it out. I know it's also on Prime. So.
Mm-hmm.
And Pope's Exorcist is on Netflix for me. So.
Yeah. Oh my, but yes, this is so, I want the whole series.
It's so fun.
I want a weekly Pope's Exorcist series. Just like done in the style of Night Stalker. So it's like, it's a different kind of thing every week.
Right.
What kind of demon do we have this week, Father Tomas? Oh, he's a demon that farts. Fart demon.
This movie is like way more fun than it has like any right to be.
Yes. Exactly.
I was sort of, honestly, like you recommend, like you said, let's do The Pope's Exorcist. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay, well, it's on Netflix. I know I have access to it. Sure. Let's give it a shot. And I was very entertained by this movie.
Oh, yes.
I have my issues with it. I really wish that they dove harder into the, you know, underground lair shit.
Yeah.
Cause they go there and they discover and then they leave and they never really bring it back up again. They just go back to, you know, taking on the demon possessing the child. So,
they do go back to like sit on the throne.
Right. Right.
After, of course, Asmodeus, I want my pig, father. I want my pig. we should mention Ralph Ineson playing the voice of Asmodeus.
Ah, right.
Because he would... leave your brain at the door.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, I've been critical of exorcism movies before because mm-hmm. they tend to be all the same, frankly. Mm-hmm. I would sort of put that aside because this is, I'm not sure I've seen another exorcism movie that is this fun. You know, like,
yeah.
Like, you know, maybe if Repossessed was better, it would, you know, but yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just fun. It's again, it's like an Indiana Jones meets James Bond meets mm-hmm. The Exorcist, you know, and
God help me. I didn't think I was going to give this score a score so high.
Okay. Yeah.
But this is a 4.
Okay. Yeah. That's where I was leaning. That's where I was leaning too. Yeah, for sure. I'm right there with you. Very entertaining. You know, it's not going to be on my best of the year list. This is a movie from last year anyway. So,
yeah,
but it wouldn't make my best of the year list, but it, I'm glad I watched it and would recommend it most definitely. Because it is, again, super tropey, but also very kind of new inside the genre. I mean, I think maybe even you could sort of give some credit to like, the Da Vinci Code.
Oh yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Like very, very, you know, sort of tonally kind of similar. And then you've got Russell Crowe in the fucking role of a lifetime. just eating it up. Just doing great. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So, 2 thumbs up, way up.
Yep. Yeah. 4 out of 5 for me too. We'll get out of here with, with a song by, Helicopters, the Swedish, hard rock / punk rock band. And this is their song, The Exorcist.
So it actually, you know, it's been a while since I've edited that review that you just heard with Tom and I. So it may have actually been during the review that I realized all this, and I hope I'm not going to be repeating myself, but it was a long time ago I edited that review. I edited that like shortly after we recorded it, and that was about a month ago. So I can't recall if I pointed out, because actually I don't think I talked much about this one, but I did discover that last year Russell Crowe was the star of an exorcism movie. As well, titled The Exorcism or The Exorcist. I believe on IMDb it's The Exorcist, but I believe the official title of the film is The Exorcism. And I was like, why would Russell Crowe do this? Well, as I looked into it a little bit, this movie was mostly filmed and completed by 2019. And then COVID hit and everything went into, you know, they stopped and then they came back. It's not here on IMDb, but they did like some pickups in, I think, in 2021. And then, it wasn't released until, spring of last year in 2024. You know, only a couple months before, you know, The Pope's Exorcist was released. So actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Russell Crowe was pissed off that this movie came out last year, seeing as he filmed it 6 years ago and it lined up, you know, next to another exorcism movie. Now, I think perhaps Tom and I talked about how The Pope's Exorcist was a little bit different for an exorcist movie. And, so was this one. In fact, this one has a really interesting story behind it. So The Exorcism, as I'm going to call it, was directed by Joshua John Miller, a one-time actor and now, of course, writer-director. Joshua John Miller is the son of Jason Miller, who played Father Karras in The Exorcist in 1973. So here we are in 2024, and his son has a movie that is officially titled on IMDb, The Exorcist, as well. This is not a remake of The Exorcist. Rather, this a remake of The Exorcist is the plot jumps off in this movie. Yes, John Miller directed this movie as a remake of The Exorcist in progress. The lead actor, of course, is Russell Crowe, bearing the same last name as the director, Anthony Miller, who he's an alcoholic actor. You know that at one point he was like a big time action star, and he's on the decline here, alcoholic, supposedly sober, but drinks in the movie. So I guess not sober. man, that bit of the cast here on IMDb just blew my mind. That is not who I thought played the director. Adam Goldberg played the director. I thought it was, Jonathan Silverman? Sarah Silverman's brother. The single guy. Remember him? I really thought it was him. Apparently it's Adam Goldberg. I hope that's not racist or anti-Semitic. It's not. His hair is all darkened up and wearing big glasses. So he actually does really look like him. Anyway, that's who I thought that was. So the new spin, I've been rambling about this and not even really talking about the movie. The new spin on the Exorcism movie is they are filming a remake of The Exorcist, and Russell Crowe, alcoholic widower, is trying to put his career back together. He is the older priest. You know, you need an old priest and a young priest. So he's the old priest in this one. He has a teenage daughter who has been kicked out of school for bold act of defiance and destruction of property. And as such, she is made to take on a PA, production assistant role in this film because she is stuck with her father rather than going to school, and her father is filming a movie. Is the movie cursed? Is the movie possessed? Well, possession happens in this movie.
it's not really clear, I don't think, what the outcome was. And that's not necessarily part of the problem I have. I really did appreciate the approach to this. They're making a movie. They're not really taking that stuff seriously. They have a, oh my God. Yeah. They have a consultant, you know, a Catholic priest consultant on the film who is played by David Hyde Pierce. Yes. Niles from Frasier. Is it Niles? Is that his name? I don't really watch Frasier. I've seen a few episodes. Yeah. But I saw his name in the opening credits. I'm like, oh, okay, Niles is in this one. And then totally managed to not figure out, well, I guess I maybe forgot, but at the end of the movie, the credits came up again. And I'm like, oh, yeah, who is David Hyde Pierce? Turns out he is this Catholic priest. He really disappears behind his role. And he comes on to, make sure it's authentic. There is some trauma deep in Russell Crowe's past that is encroaching on his and his daughter's life and his mental state. At the same time, things start going wrong with filming. I should mention Ryan Simpkins, who I guess you would consider the second lead of the film. She plays Lee, Russell Crowe's daughter in the film. She's pretty great. She was in Fear Street part two. Is that what it is? Yeah. Oh, she was in all three of them. Yeah. She's Alice in those movies. And I think that's the only other thing I've seen her in. Yeah. Oh, she was in Surveillance. She must have been like, yeah, that daughter, the little girl, because she is quite young. But yeah, she was great. There's also Chloe Bailey, who I sort of recognized. Where have I seen her before? Or have I seen her before? I don't think. Oh, she's a musician. I didn't realize that. Okay. Yeah, this is, I guess, definitely the only thing I've seen her in. She is Chloe. Her music name is Chloe. Just like her real name. Her acting name. I don't know. I don't think I've seen WrestleMania 34. I haven't seen that. She's probably in the crowd or something. Yeah. So this is the only thing I've seen her in before. She has one of those, I guess, she really does have like one of those comforting faces. Like you have seen her before. She plays the Regan, you know, the little possessed girl in this movie. She's good. Sam Worthington plays the young priest. Adam Goldberg, I mentioned it, is in it. David Hyde Pierce, I mentioned it, is in it. Adrian Pazdar is in it. Samantha Mathis is in it for a little bit. It's got a great cast and a great premise, and it's really well shot. However, it just, while it takes this sort of fresh approach, it never really escapes the tropes. You know, it never really escapes, here we go. And there's like nothing new in the scares. You know what I mean? So while they're approaching the, you know, possession subgenre, the exorcism subgenre, they're not doing anything new with it. Other than their approach, but then their approach just nestles into tropes. It never escapes the cliches. They're all the way through. And, you know, even like I called it, what's her name? Lee? Is she? Yeah. Lee, the daughter, his name is Anthony in the movie. She calls her dad Tony. So, and, you know, and she's kind of withdrawn from him, you know, they lost her mother and he's an alcoholic. So there's like obviously some tension between them, but it's just the moment she calls him Tony and he says, my name isn't Tony, it's dad. I'm like, ah, fuck. There it is. There's the first cliche that really is going to hammer us over the head in this movie. And sure enough, she calls him Tony throughout the movie until at the end,
She says, Dad.
You know, it's bullshit. Just like, man, can we not see that boring ass cliche in movies for a while? Can we just leave that kind of shit alone? I mean, the film was made really well. It doesn't really go anywhere. It's flat. It kind of, you know, I don't know. Whereas, you know, like The Pope's Exorcist had some wild flourishes and some stories and films of, you know, like The Exorcism of Emily Rose goes intense. It goes there. This one just doesn't go there for me. You know, I don't need, you know, there's some crude stuff in here, obviously. There's always going to be crude language in one of these movies, because it's always fun to hear a little girl screaming, fuck you, or whatever, you know, it's kind of the part of the appeal, I think, but it doesn't really cross the line into something new. That's the problem. I do really like the accessibility and the imagery of the set that they built for the film to shoot at. If that makes sense. The house that they are doing the filming in is like an open-sided house. So you walk up to the front door and you walk into the house and you can see all the stuff on the inside of the house, both bottom floor and top floor, with, of course, a fake street built outside. I'm kind of a sucker for that kind of shit in movies, like behind the scenes of movies in movies. I've always found that kind of fun. I love movies. Did I love this one? No, not particularly. But is it terrible? No, not particularly. It's probably a 3 out of 5. It's just not that exciting. Russell Crowe's great. I think Russell Crowe's always great, frankly. You know, maybe not be a great guy, but I think that's part of the meta appeal of this. Whereas there's one moment where the director is saying, you know, this isn't a horror film. You know, Anthony Miller doesn't do horror films. You know, this is a psychological trauma, psychological thriller draped in the tropes of a horror film, right? Like, because, you know, Russell Crowe wouldn't debase himself to do these horror films. You know what I mean? You know, but he's an actor who's fallen on hard times. So someone's trying to make excuses for him. Needless to say, I always sort of enjoy Russell Crowe's performances. Ever since Romper Stomper, you know, like, I've always found him believable, especially when he's an asshole. And he's kind of an asshole here. Well, I mean, at times he's possessed by a demon. Or is he? Yeah, I think he is. But, yeah, you know, your mileage may vary. It's on Paramount Plus. Yeah, I'm not a fan of what they did to Colbert either, but I paid for a year, so I'm not going to cancel right now. At least not when Star Trek's going. But anyway, fuck Paramount. And, yeah, this movie's all right. And you know what? A little bonus point for it, because it gave me a reason to play a song that it plays in the movie, from punk pioneer, former member of Television, also a member of Johnny Thunder's Heartbreakers. I'm referring to Richard Hell. This is his solo band, Richard Hell and the Voidoids, with Blank Generation. And we'll come back and say so long in a little bit.
Forsaken by the public eye.
cheat, take it or leave it each time. Well, I belong to the generation, but I can take it or leave it each time.
And that is us, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode as much as I did putting it together for you. And if you did, you can let me know, dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. Hey, get your Q&A questions into me at that email address as well. Or comment on any of my things on Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Dread Media, and the Facebook group just called Dread Media. I made a Q&A post there. If I don't get enough questions, there won't be an episode. So think about it. Ask me anything. All right. Well, that's all the ways to contact me. Patreon.com/dreadmedia. Support the show the best way I know how. Ting. Thank you to everyone who does. That is it. We're going to get out of here with a song. I got sent the brand new debut album from a band called Die Spitz. I don't think I'd ever even heard of them before. But the promo email said, for fans of Mannequin Pussy and Scowl, here's some badass chicks from Die Spitz with their song. Oh, I should probably name the record. The record is called Something to Consume. And this is the third track off said record, Throw Yourself to the Sword by Die Spitz. You guys take care of yourselves, take care of others, and we'll see you next week.